Cool beans. Hello and welcome to The White Light. As always, this information is not intended to be construed as a medical diagnosis or treatment. This information should not take the place of a consultation with a physician or healthcare professional for medical diagnosis and or treatment. Nice to see you again, guys. Welcome back.
Thanks
today
so much.
Today we have...
Hello, I'm Joy Affleck.
Hey, Joy.
I'm back again.
Yes, back in the flesh. And we also have...
I'm Joni Eisinger. I'm the resident psychic.
Oh my gosh. Joni, could you tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started?
Sure. Well, I used to be a therapist. I worked in New York City for 10 years. And I didn't believe in any of this. And then I became gifted with abilities. Came out of nowhere. I became able to channel departed ones and pets, do hands-on healing, clear spaces, clear negative energies from folks' bodies. I could identify a person's divine purpose. And many, many, many other things. I live in central New Jersey. I'm pretty local to Madison, New Jersey. So I now do this professionally. I do radio. I do several radio shows, two on Blog Talk, and I do one on Soul Luminous Radio. And I'm here also. And I love doing events and restaurant gallery events. And I'm an author. And I also sing. Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, I wrote a book called David's Guidance, A Book of Light, and it's 50 channeled pieces, and I co-authored a book with 14 other folks, and it's called The Chakra Journey, and I co-created a crystal card deck, and that's called Carry Me Crystals.
Cool.
Wow.
And what I have is a crystal card deck?
There are 44 cards in the deck, and on the front is a picture of a crystal, and then on the back is a channeled message of how the crystal can assist someone. And then there's also a book, and it's channeled. I channeled each crystal and how it can assist in clearing one's chakras. So that goes along with the card deck. So people can use the cards as like an oracle. So they'll just like shuffle them and then pick a card or do a spread. And then based on what the crystals are before them, they'll read on the back. And that's the message that's for that person.
Right.
And then they can also individually do healing on themselves using the chakra clearing book.
Huh. Wow.
That's really fun. That's really cool stuff.
So.
For sure.
Today we're going to talk about a bunch of different things. We like to keep this conversation a little bit casual. The first thing I have on this list is the topic of individuality versus conformity and groupthink. So from this psychic perspective, what is an individual? Well, first of all, what is a group and then what is an individual? Because I feel like in past episodes and past podcasts that we've had, we've kind of made it a point to say that everyone is connected in some kind of way.
Yes.
That we're kind of splinters from this bigger kind of being or source. So if that is the case, is there truly an individual?
Okay, so now my mind is hurting and you've stretched me for the day. I'm done. Okay, I think you basically said it. We are all one and we are splinters from one creator. One source.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very good question in terms of, are we one? I believe that we are, that we are in fact pieces. We are individual souls that have their own journey, their own story. So we are creating movies, not just here, but in other lifetimes as well at the same time. So there's no such thing as past, present, or future. It's all happening concurrently. And we also have a soul group that we travel with, that we tend to have incarnations with. So we are an individual in that we are, I'll say, a God spark.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are also part of a soul group. So before we have an incarnation, we'll meet with members of our soul group to make decisions about whether we want to be a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm.
We each have our own divine masculine or divine feminine essence.
Mm-hmm.
But when we come into Earth school, as I call this, we decide, are we going to do boy or are we going to do girl?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first piece. And then after that, we make a decision regarding who our parents are, etc. And we go from there. So in terms of group, we're an individual amongst our soul group, the souls we like to play movies with, mm-hmm. and we make decisions, and then we incarnate and we come down. And what's interesting is that the veil comes down over us, and we forget the plans, we forget the group, we forget. And it's like part of the game, part of the risk, part of the challenge, mm-hmm. is to not remember. It's kind of like pin the tail on the donkey. You've got it set up in front of you, but you've got the blindfold on, and the object is just to try and go forward and pin the tail on the donkey.
Right.
Gotcha.
That's interesting. Oh my God, I had a point and I've totally forgotten it.
I'm just taking this all in. I'm just the guest mystified by a psychic and a well-spoken man. So honestly, keep going, y'all. I'm as fascinated as the listeners.
Okay, honey pie.
So I think a while back you told us that the purpose of this giant spark separating ourselves into smaller bits of pieces is to try and understand itself more.
Yes.
That would mean that we are each other all the time, right? Kind of, sort of.
We are
separate, just pieces of a giant.
And we are connected, right. Yet we each, because we've been journeying so many times, mm-hmm. we each have our own respective stories, so we have our own different essence. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's almost like, this is what they're giving me. Mm-hmm. Perfume is perfume, mm-hmm. but you don't have it on a person, you have it in a bottle. Mm-hmm. But when you put the perfume or cologne on each individual person, it's going to actually, they say, it actually smells differently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you are generating a certain je ne sais quoi different from that other person. Mm-hmm. Why? Because of your makeup. So in terms of third dimensional, we have biochemistry. That's mm-hmm. the observable and reportable. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the energy piece, which is the vibration, which just does something. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, the biochemistry and that fifth dimensional energy, they work together.
We could think of it kind of as, so let's say the perfume or cologne or whatever is this random pure kind of energy that mixes in with whatever experiences you have on this planet. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then you go back and bringing that different combination back into the larger soul group kind of thing?
When you're here or yes. when you return home? You're
so
saying when
you're
here?
You leave the group.
Right.
You gather your experience. You come back with that new experience combined with whatever you brought from the original, right?
Yes. And while you're here, you are journeying, so you're still affecting everyone right. around you too. So we're sitting here, the three of us in this room, and we're having this conversation, and we're sitting
right.
and it's 5 plus PM on a Wednesday. And so there are all things going on. Like, are we starting to get hungry? Are we possibly winding down? Mm-hmm. Is this more interesting to one soul than another? Are there other thoughts that are going on outside? We're affecting each other while we're still creating for ourselves.
Right.
So we're affecting each other and we are internally creating something for our own soul growth. Mm-hmm. So it happens here and it happens there. And the sound waves are affecting others who are listening as well. So that also has an impact on the ones that are listening. And then you have a podcast. So you take an electronic version, place that somewhere, and then more will listen, and that affects more.
Right.
And our mere existence here affects everyone.
Mm.
Mm.
So it's and so on and so on and so on. It's a ripple effect. So what I say affects not only y'all, but it just spans out into the universe. And that's why they say, be careful what you say and do, because your actions, in fact, do affect everyone.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start to think about people who are in the psychological, sociological, using those kinds of terminology, when people are deviant, what does that mean? When people deliberately or subconsciously or both go against that kind of tide, go against that groupthink, how are they what is their context? What is their place in the larger context of this larger group that we are part of, but individual?
Oh, this is so great stuff.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Cool.
I was a psych major. Then I became a therapist. So deviance. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have pre-birth planning. You could pre-birth plan to be sociopathic, oppositional defiant disorder, personality disordered. You can pre-birth plan to come in deviant. Mm. Deviant is straying from the norm. Deviant is different from being an individual. Deviant is usually has a negative connotation where there's something more, where there's malintent involved. So is that what you were getting at?
Yeah. So people, not always to say that deviants are bad, but people who choose to ignore, choose to go against conformity.
Okay. Yeah. So then I'm going to move away from the judgment piece to divert. Okay. Because usually sociologically deviance usually has a negative connotation.
Right. Because they go against standard norms.
Right. Whereas going against a standard norm could also possibly be healthy if people are in fact doing something that isn't for their highest good. And if a person is choosing to be deviant from what is the norm, that might actually be a very healthy thing. And that isn't necessarily sociopathic. So I guess we had to clarify what deviance is. Mm-hmm. But if there's no judgment on it and a person is moving away from conformity and they are deviating, it could be pre-birth planned. Mm. It could be that they are there to, maybe they were conforming, maybe they were not their own person and that they made a decision. When I incarnate, I'm going to find an opportunity and I'm going to start growing that and I'm going to move away from groupthink, from the herd. Mm. Then you also have a person who might pre-birth plan to deviate from the norm because they're being of service for others.
Right.
They might do that so others can see, look at that strong soul. Look how they're able to do this. Wow, I wish I could do that. Oh my gosh, they have such strength and fortitude. They're inspiring me. So that's the way they could be of service for others. Mm-hmm. Then you have the soul that didn't pre-birth plan to deviate from the norm. So they come down post-incarnation and they find themselves moving away from the group, moving away from conformity. What is that? It could be that they're doing it because it's self-preservation. Maybe they're angry. Maybe they're isolating. Maybe they don't even know what they're doing and they find themselves, they've just found themselves away from the group. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is, the point of it is for soul growth opportunity. The soul that's being of service and doing it, they might, on some level, they might be fine-tuning. They might be learning how to strengthen, moving away from the norm. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm talking more generally the souls that aren't being of service in this way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
I think so. Joy, how did you feel?
Again, I'm just in awe. This all exists in some... All right, I'll admit to you all that I pulled an all-nighter last night. So this is hitting me in that spiritual zone where I'm just taking it all in because I'm...
You're raw.
I'm raw. And I'm happy to be in this state. Like, this was all by chance. You messaged me about an hour ago. Mm-hmm. The universe works itself in mysterious ways. Okay. So I'm glad I'm getting the message.
I'm glad.
When it's most impactful. So honestly, sorry if I'm quiet. I'm taking it all in.
No, it's You're okay.
I'll probably have questions later, but...
Did you have, I know I did kind of spring this on you, but did you have any other things that you wanted to talk about before we move on into anything else? I mean, this is wildly unstructured, so.
Oh my gosh, I just want to get the ball rolling. I'm so excited. This is like, this is also interesting to me because I don't really think about, you know, in terms of just, you know, the collision of lives and, you know, that groupthink mentality. And I guess a more, not abstract sense, but do you know what I'm trying to get at?
Yes.
Like the conceptual sense versus the physical. So I think it's just, I'm one of those people that likes to think before responding. So it's just very much an interesting concept for a Wednesday.
Since I'm on a college campus and I'm thinking about the students and their experiences, there's so much involved regarding people moving in groups. Mm-hmm. And doing things that others are doing, and that it's part of being here in Earth School is learning how to be your own person and going inside and getting to your gut, your knowing as to, do I feel comfortable doing this? Mm-hmm. Do I feel comfortable in this situation or in this workshop or this talk or everyone's hanging out and they're discussing, how do I feel? Am I part of this? Is this something where I want to remove myself or am I changing my opinion? Like how, where do I fit in as an individual amongst mm-hmm. the others? Because mm-hmm. y'all are thrown into a campus mm-hmm. for 4 years. And it's how does a soul navigate that? Because a lot of people have very strong opinions. People are, they're separating from their parents, maybe for the first time, mm-hmm. not permanently, I'm just saying physically. And then they're also individuating, separation, individuation. Let's mm-hmm. talk psychology. And then what do people do with this? Do they think for themselves while they're being stimulated by a group? Mm-hmm. It's a balance mm-hmm. that people need to find when they're here for 4 years.
That was definitely one of the focuses that I had coming in, is that was I going to just be part of a crowd or was I going to make it a point to establish my own personality?
Mm-hmm.
Did I have thoughts like that going into college?
Well, I thought about everything.
Well,
so.
I thought about everything, but I also came from an all-girls school.
Mm.
So I think I cared a lot about what people thought. So I was like not in a position to be like, can I stand out as an individual? I was like, I haven't talked to a boy since middle school. So honestly, good for you. Good for you, Chris. But I feel that. I really, on that sense, like if I can like steer the conversation
yeah,
to like that future setting, because I feel like it talks to or touches on what we've talked about with that group. But, you know, the individual desire,
mm-hmm.
Because being an art student, I studied digital video, or like video production mostly.
Yes.
It's really interesting because there's part of me that wishes I went to an art school. Like ever since I came here, not that I don't love Drew, mm-hmm. it's that you almost, you're like, my high school just didn't realize that was definitely my path, even though I felt it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, I should have applied to, you know, Tisch or something. But then on the other hand, at those institutions, you have that whole difference of, you have that groupthink mentality of like, you have to go to art school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that it's known to be cutthroat and all that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, but then it's all based on the individual. Like it's like so interesting in that aspect, I guess. And so I'm just wondering, I don't know if you have any spiritual guidance for those entering in with art school, you know, like with people with that established groupthink mentality of, you know, like, going to art school is the only way to do art, you know, but mm-hmm. but all of us doing our individual art. I don't know if that makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yes.
It makes sense. We are socialized to think that there are shoulds, that there's a cookie cutter thing that if you are this way, you do that. If you do this, then you do this. If you're a music person, you go to Juilliard. If you're this, you do this. I wanted to be a therapist. I ended up getting a bachelor's in education with a concentration in counseling, the exact opposite of anything I ever thought that I would do. Mm-hmm. It was the weirdest concept as I was doing it. But I did it because it made sense to me, but it wasn't obvious. It wasn't planned. It wasn't cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting a master's in social work. But I didn't do something that was the norm. So it's important to know there are no shoulds. That there's so much that society says that we are supposed to do. There are many people who think that they are supposed to go to college and then they fail out because that wasn't what they were meant to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was community college or a trade or go into the family business first mm-hmm. or travel for a year or just work, just rest.
Mm-hmm.
So when people finally realize that the sky's the limit and that we're here to be prudent. We're here to make mm-hmm. pretty good decisions. Doesn't mean just, you know, F off and just not, you know, we're here to be creator beings mm-hmm. and create something for our movie. But when we realize that anything is possible and then we take the shoulds off,
mm-hmm.
it makes you feel a whole lot better.
Mm.
I definitely feel that.
Yeah.
And
sure.
that there are people who become whatever, great in some field, but they were like, I don't know, like a journalism major. And then they do something else mm-hmm. later. And then they say, how the heck did I do journalism? And now I'm doing, for some reason, they were supposed to study journalism.
I get that.
Yeah.
I really get that.
Yeah, we're supposed to go through all these points.
It's freeing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In spiritual land, as I call it, you are exactly where you're supposed to be. So when you're in the present, that's where everything is the most powerful. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can think clearly. And then you go with your feeling. How do I feel about this? Am I feeling comfortable? Well, no. Then, okay, what am I going to do? Oh, I'll change it. Mm-hmm. So if you, let's say you're an art student and you are here for a year and it's not cutting it, maybe the person's supposed to apply to art school. Maybe there's another person who's an art student and they thought, oh, God, I should have gone to art school. But then they're realizing that everything is sufficient here. Mm-hmm. And they're getting all their needs met.
Crazy.
Mm. You had a question before the show.
Yeah, Joy, do you want to talk a little
bit? Go for it.
Yes.
Go for it.
So, I feel like I have to explain this.
I was going to ask, is there a story?
Yeah. All right. So, this kind of relates back to what you were saying. This is not the first time I've been on the show. I think last time I was on the show, I feel like I've been on the show or a show with Chris every year since my freshman year. And I'm pretty sure every year I've given you a different major.
Really?
I really do think if you
are
look
you
back.
Art now? No, you're not.
No, you're calm. Yeah, I'm media communication Spanish and then I'm a film minor, but I started business in Chinese and then I was like, yeah, LOL.
Oh, I just had a throwback to the first show. Okay.
Yeah, I was like business in Chinese, and then I was Spanish and French, and I was like an English major, and then I was like, no, I'll be an arts minor, and then it kind of like fumbled into this.
Uh-huh. Oh my God.
So yeah, just like to touch on what we were talking about before, very much. I appreciate that. That gives me a lot of relief.
Yes.
But yeah, so in my digital video classes, I'm learning, you know, because a film set is a lot of processes. I'm kind of learning maybe I don't like using like filming so much with a camera. Mm-hmm. I might really like the post work, like the editing and stuff. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. It's kind of 50-50 right at this point because I'm still just cracking into it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My digital video professor says that if you really are serious about editing, your wrists are going to be effed by like the age of 40, and that some editors need prosthetics like to like prop up their wrist with the special carpal tunnel mouse, double up. You gotta like double up on that. And I feel like I'm better at editing, so yeah, help me.
So you want to know whether you're going to be with wrists versus bracelets.
Wrist
carpal tunnel black things versus wearing bracelets.
Wearing bracelets, or if none of those are for me, because as I said, like I also really enjoy writing and I don't know, but I'd like to end up directing somehow. Maybe possibly that's an idea. But
so, is your question more along the lines of
what am I going to do? Right. Yeah. And is it still related in this field? Because as you can tell, I've changed my mind a lot, and I'd like to feel like in my junior year it stayed on one thing. Mm-hmm. So, if it stays on this one thing, all right. First question: will it stay on this one thing? Second question:
I think so. It feels so.
Mm. Will I have my wrist?
She's diving in.
I'm going in. You give yourself breaks. You're not going to, I mean, the professor was right to a certain extent. It matters on, there are certain editors I'm seeing that are so hands-on. They want to take charge so much that they are at the console all the time. That's what they say. Whereas there are other ones, they get up and they walk around, and then there are different things that they're doing. They're not just sitting there all the time. So it's the ones that get up. The ones that have a few job responsibilities, they're doing different movements with their hands, and they're getting up and they're walking around. Those are the ones that are preserving their hands. Mm-hmm. It's the ones that are there constantly. And then they don't, and like, and I'm actually thinking maybe some compulsive people and workaholics and perfectionists. Mm. So are you laughing because you might fit into one of those categories?
Well, my mom's one. And then I think I'm just turning into my mother the older I get. And she got carpal tunnel.
Okay, so you don't want to turn into your mother. You can reverse that.
I'd love to be my mother. But that'd be great.
Without that part.
Take care of your wrists, man.
Without that part.
But when your job requires you to be on a computer for 8 hours.
That's
12.
Fair.
You put out the intention that you're not sitting at a computer straight for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that with anything anyway. When you have a desk job, say after a certain amount of time,
you
get up and walk around. Mm-hmm. You go to the water cooler. You walk outside. You come back. Mm-hmm. You go to the bathroom. You stand. You shake your wrists out. You stretch. things like that.
Well, I'm excited to work somewhere in the film field and possibly have my wrist if I take care of them.
So let me see if I could get specific regarding editing versus directing versus other. I'm going in. Let me see.
Crazy lifetime goal is to win an Oscar.
You know, I would love to win an Oscar, too.
Or a Peabody.
I feel like you're theatrical and you could direct, but I also see you performing. I feel like the stage is there for you.
Ooh.
That you're able to do this. Let's see about editing. It's okay. You do editing, but someone asks you to fill in for someone. Do you sing?
Yeah.
Ha-ha.
I'm in an a cappella group.
Uh-huh. So I feel like someone sees that you have what it takes or potential.
Chops.
And then you, I think you get up on stage. Do you dance?
I took hip-hop for like 9 years.
Do you do any tap?
No, my mother did tap growing up. Uh-huh. And so did my grandmother.
Uh-huh.
They wanted me to do ballet because my grandmother owned a dance studio. And then I said, no, I'm going to do hip-hop like the deviant soul I am.
I think I remember you even sharing that in another show. Yeah. I think that you're going to be known. So maybe you've got the desk job, but you keep your eye open for auditions. And I feel like one day you're going to be on a stage.
Ooh. You How told her, sound to you?
Didn't you?
I didn't tell her anything.
That's going to be your milk money, they say. That's going to be what you shine that way. People need to see you. Mm. You've got humor and you have a presence and you've entertained on stage before in different lifetimes. You were a comedian. Are you ready? Are you ready? You were in a circus.
Yes.
That makes so much sense.
You juggled, you did fire, you loved that, you loved it, and you loved it. Tightrope, you would not go near.
Yeah,
you were
that
on the ground.
Not sound fun.
You would no, you, that no.
Yeah.
You're not up there. You're juggling with fire.
Fire sounds
You ate
right
fire.
Up my
you ate fire.
Awesome. My parents are firefighters.
Amazing. Wait, what? Really?
Get out.
Whoa.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my parents are firefighters.
Oh.
Cool.
Oh, the fire connection.
Mm.
They put it out and you eat it.
Yeah, I was a little pyro growing up. They hated that.
I can only imagine.
So, go ahead. You have another?
Oh, no. I'm just astonished that he didn't tell you.
About what?
I don't know. I want her to analyze you now.
Am I going to be in movies?
Let's
Am I going to be in film?
Let's see it.
If you want to.
Because I
want to
reveal something to you after. That's okay. Crazy.
So you would be an extra.
I would be an extra?
You would be an extra.
An extra.
That's what you would do. You would
Damn.
Be an extra.
Okay.
You very, very much. You would. Let's see what you would do. You would hang out. There would be people that were performing, and then they would say, "You know, we have a role for you. Would you be willing to do this?" You
yeah.
take. You take them up on their offer.
Mm.
You like? Yeah. You would do this. Let me see if there's more. Also, another thing too, if you wanted to, is that you could be part of crew.
Ooh, I could do
you
crew.
Would do that. You would be helping out on stage, but I also see you in production.
Really?
I see production. I see you're putting things together. I see you're doing casting.
Casting.
And then I see you, it's interesting, I see you handing an envelope to someone, meaning you got the part.
What? Meaning they got the part.
They got the part.
Right.
You're in production. You're in the big, mm-hmm. you're in the big picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're mesmerized with audience
visible
reaction. The crew, there's something you get involved, but that could be art.
Mm-hmm.
That could be where the art comes in, where you're doing displays, that you're doing you could be seen visually that way, like I see you in Technicolor. So I see a lot of visual with you. Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of on stage, sure, you could be an extra, but that's not your goal. I see you're into visual and production.
I could take it.
I think you should reveal.
Reveal?
Our secret connection.
What is our secret connection?
The thing we just did.
That we were in a play?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes, we were in a play.
Yeah, we were just in a play together.
So you were also, because Christian had told me about the play.
Yeah. I knew.
I told her about the play, but I didn't tell her that you were in the play.
Oh.
No, he said he was in a play.
Yeah, you can come sit over here if you'd like.
We have another witness
we have another
in the
witness
house.
In the
yes.
House. We'll get to him in just a second, but we do need to get to him soon. Okay. Keep going. We'll get
yes.
to you in a second.
We were just in a play. That was essentially it. He also did the display for it.
I did the poster
like,
for
like
it.
Part like the poster for it.
Yeah. And that I didn't know.
Yes.
I just know that you played the lead. That's all I know. So there
one
you go.
One of the leads. There was like it was an ensemble. It was yeah. a bunch of us.
Ensemble.
Ensemble.
We've got another witness in the room. Manny, if you would kindly speak into the microphone if it happens to be working.
Hello.
Can you guys hear him?
Yes, speak closely, as close as you can.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. Just stick close to that mic. Okay.
Manny, I brought you in because you said you had a bunch of questions or you said you wanted to talk about a couple of things.
Ooh.
Right now, just to fill you in, we were talking about basically career paths, what we would be in the future. Does that interest you at all?
Yes, it does.
What question do you have? Or questions?
I have one specific question that I want to ask.
Go ahead.
So Christian and I were in Europe most of the summer.
Yeah.
And there was this instance where I had to walk down an old
that's a good
burial mountain, like from the Tuscans from way back during the Roman era. And I was walking my friend down around 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. I don't remember specifically. And we were walking on this new path that just appeared out of nowhere down the mountain because there's no streetlights or anything. It's very old-fashioned.
And was this Italy?
Yes, it was Italy. It was where the fourth pope is from, like the church before he moves to the Vatican.
Yeah.
And there was this whisper in my ear. And it just sent like the biggest chills down my spine because my family is very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But since that day, like I've been feeling like weird things in and out. So I don't know if it's like, yeah. I don't know if it's like something, you know, maybe something from that time or something.
I'll go
more.
In. Let me see who that was and what's going on with you. Let's see.
He woke me up at 3 in the morning, like
yes,
Chris.
So you were an elder in a church in Rome. You spoke to the masses. There were many people who listened to you. Many, many, many. Now, I'm not sure whether you were a deacon, but you were high up in the church. You loved your position. So there are a few souls that you knew when they came to you. So you got a whisper, but I get a collective. So there are about three souls. I feel they were male. And that they came and spoke as like one voice, as a psh, psh, whatever. And that was to tell you, oh, I love this. Are you ready? You're on the right path. Isn't that good
what?
Stuff? Speaking of the path,
uh-huh.
right? So let's see more about that. Oh, gosh. They say you're woke. Good stuff.
Uh-huh. I want spirits to tell me I'm woke in Italy at 3 a.m.
Let's see more about you. Let's see what's happening.
I'll have to come back senior year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Let's see. You have a lot of pride. You feel very proud as a person.
Yes.
Right? When you speak, do people get quiet and they listen to you?
Yes.
Yeah. You have things to say that are important. You also believe in justice and fairness. You also want peace. Now, you were, I don't want to say preaching. You were professing this. You were sharing this on the pulpit. You know, back then in those olden days. And so there's a part of your essence that wants things to be normal. This is your essence. I'd like for everyone to get along. I want peace. Listen up. Hark, hark, listen, hark. Come, be at peace. Y'all get along. That's your mantra. That's your way. And there's a stillness about you, and it's very calming. It's like a bird, like there'll be stillness, just stillness, and then you hear a bird chirping. And the stillness even listens to the bird chirping, and you notice how crisp it tweets. And so you command authority with your stillness. There's paradox in that, folks. So when people think that More is better, sometimes less is more, or louder is better than quieter. It isn't necessarily so. People think that they have to get attention by making a ruckus and then they'll be heard. You don't even do this on purpose. It is your blessed, holy, sacred way. And you walk in the stillness, in the Om, the I Am, the oneness. You walk in this way and you go about your business. It doesn't make you better then. So there are going to be other students that are going to be like, oh, Manny, he's the guy walking on water. You know, it's not that. It's not that. I want to make sure that people who are listening, whether it's live or a podcast, they don't get me wrong in my channel. We all have an energy signature. We all have a fingerprint, a stamp as to who we are, what our true essence is. That's talking like at the beginning of the show, we were talking about individuality. Mm-hmm. So that's your individual frequency, your brand or your essence. So you have learned many things in different lifetimes and you come into this one wanting peace. And when they're suffering, you cry. It makes you very, very sad. You don't want people to be bickering, and you don't like when people lie. You think that's bull, and you want people to just be real and transparent and get along. So with what you're experiencing now, it is like an awakening. It's coming back to remembering your true essence. I don't feel that there's negative energy around you. I feel it's very blessed. So what you can do and what we all can always do is you imagine putting white light around yourself, which is the highest frequency. It's love, and that's protection. And that if you ever, you know, want to know what the heck's going on, if you have buzzing and ringing or you see things, you can ask them, can you be more specific? Can you be clear? Can you show me signs? I didn't quite get it. What do you mean? I saw like a flock of birds and then I saw another flock of birds. You're trying to tell me something. What do you want me to do? And then they'll come in. Someone might just say something. Someone might walk into a room and say it. And then you're going to be able to make connections.
Have you ever tried something like that before?
Asking spirits?
Because I know that you've had like experiences like this before. This isn't the only
what?
One.
What? Really?
Yeah, this kid's a
wait,
conduit.
If you could sum it up in a number, is it under 10?
The encounters?
Yes.
No.
That is, wow.
It goes way beyond 20. Oh. It goes way beyond 20, possibly even 30. When I was younger, I thought I was being, not that I thought, I still think I was being tormented. Because since my family's from the Caribbean islands, my grandma, I was a bad kid. Like, I was.
We were talking about deviance earlier.
Yeah. Like, I was, like, the absolute worst to my mom. And my grandma was like, see, you better stop doing what you're doing because then something's going to come after you. And then literally not even a week later, we were coming back from New York and I stood up from the car and everything, and I looked to my left, and it was something that was, like, very absurd, like, scared the living crap out of me, and just, like, yeah. So from that day on forward, it kept occurring every single day for 2 years straight, and it was, like, really bad. So it was times where I couldn't even sleep. Like, I had to go to the hospital.
Bruh. Or,
yeah, so it was just, like, because, like, the area I lived when I was younger, I'm the type of person that literally came from scratch. So at that time period, I literally was losing friends left and right, not because of friendships, but more of like violence,
yeah,
and
mm-hmm,
like death, you know?
Yeah.
So I was always like growing up in death.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but that didn't really faze me enough because I was, you know, I was raised by women my whole life. So I was just like, they were clearing my head. And then as soon as I moved out of that area, things were getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, like, I've always had encounters, especially in the new house I'm in, like with my residents. It's just like, I see things, I hear things, but of course I ignore them. I'm just like, you know.
You could always tell spirits to go to the light and just imagine you're sending them home. And if you feel tormented or if you feel aggravated by spirits, not the ones that we're talking about, the ones that are guiding you, but like at the residence hall, like for example, you can put protection around yourself. Just put white light around yourself and do not engage them. We're not to engage with souls that have not crossed over, because if you do, then you're keeping them earthbound. They're going to still think that they're alive, because that's what the whole problem is. They don't know that they're dead. But so in terms of the energies, I don't see. Do you feel you're still tormented, or you think that chapter's closed?
I think it's closed. Hopefully it's
closed. It feels closed to me. So if you're ever feeling, sensing things, that's, you're probably open. So if you see things, that's clairvoyance. If you sense things, that's clairsentience. If you hear things, that's clairaudience. If you know things, that's claircognizance. If you taste things, that's clairgustance. And if you smell things, that's clairsalience.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do have two more questions. But yeah. One is specifically towards Meat Hall. So I've been feeling like this insane pressure in my body every time I go past the house or I enter it. Whereas, for example, I would go downstairs to the basement to use the bathroom. And given the history of that house and the school itself.
Meat Hall, by the way, for all of those who aren't familiar, is the mansion that is on Drew's campus. It burned down a while ago and was put back up. There's a lot of ghost things that happened there.
There was one painting left.
There was one painting in the fire that was saved by who other than, was it Roxanne Mead?
Yes.
Look, that's not trying to remember her name.
That's so story has it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but my friend and I decided to be, not Ghostbusters, we were just adventurous. And there's like a third floor of that house. And he wanted to go upstairs. I couldn't physically or spiritually go up there. It was like a lot of things holding me back. Like, I got to the point where my eyes were like literally dripping in tears. And I was like, mm-hmm. I can't go upstairs. Cause like,
so it's good that you didn't, because we're supposed to use our gut. That was something we talked about also. You go with your gut feeling. That's your guidance. And if there's something that doesn't feel right, it means you're being protected. We don't go to places. That's for anyone, no matter what it is, even if it has nothing to do with ghosts. We don't go. If you get a feeling of not doing something, you don't do it. If you get a feeling of doing something, you're being urged to do it, you do it. So it's good that you go with your gut. And again, ghost busting, I'm not for. I think that it's like, would you want this? I'd say to a person, would you want someone chasing you? I don't want someone stalking me. I don't want someone following me. It's you leave them alone. And light workers like me and my other friends, we send them home. That's a blessed thing. If I were stuck, I'd want to be shown the gateway home. You had another question.
Yes, since you guys were talking about, I guess, futures before I got
here.
Yes.
We're talking specifically about careers, but future in general.
Oh, should I go with careers? I guess I'll go with careers. I'm a person that likes to do multiple things at once. Like, I'm not the type of person to have, I guess, one career my whole life. Like, I jump around a lot, especially when I was in high school. Like, I had different internships with different people that are really successful, and I learned a lot of different trades. So, career-wise, as of right now, I have one in mind, but that one career for me will just fund all the little side projects I want to do. So
what are you majoring in now, or what's the main, you know, the thing that's the money maker?
Well, my major right now is biology with a minor in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
My main goal is to be a nurse anesthetist, so basically injecting anesthesia into patients.
Yeah.
I don't see that as a job. I see that more as a hobby type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel more comfortable. Instead of calling jobs a job, it's more of a hobby.
Yep.
Because I like to do it. So it's more of like, that's kind of like direction my mind is going in right now.
I'm going to borrow that. Yeah. Hobbies. I like that.
Yeah, problems aren't problems. They're just challenges. You got to go around them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just really wanted to know more of that. Like, I guess the feeling of that.
Okay, so have you studied anything regarding the heart, cardio?
Yes.
That seems to be your thing, is cardiology. So I feel that I see like the AFib, DFib, I see flatline, I see the machines, I see anything regarding heart, if valves and replacements and aorta, and I even see rehab, but now I'm seeing even people with missing limbs, but there's a lot of heart stuff. I don't know if you're going to end up in a CCU, you know, in the critical care unit of folks that have had open heart surgery, heart attack. I don't know. Just something to keep in mind regarding heart. Now, there's always the metaphor, too. You're heart-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might end up working with people who have heart issues. Many times people who have heart issues have issues around love, self-love and love of others or from others, broken hearts. So you might be tending to people who have broken hearts. So it's something to keep in mind. Now, you were saying doing nursing where you specialize in the injecting the anesthesia. You can. They don't say no. Now, mind you, for y'all and any other previous shows and future shows, if I ever do a channel and I'm talking about what someone can do and someone does something different, doesn't mean they failed. The other side is just giving suggestions about what, based on person's strengths. Sometimes it could be what a person pre-birth planned too. But I see you in cardio. Now, in terms of your side projects, are they health related?
No, they're more of like, I guess, renting, more of like hospitality. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the exact field of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fine. Mm-hmm. Fine. You do fine. You're all about adventure. That's your kick. Your whole thing is adventure. So you stick with something, but then you veer off. And you stick with something and you veer off. And I see you going, and then you break off. You branch off. And you keep accumulating knowledge. You are not going to be bored. You refuse to be bored. Refuse.
I feel that.
And have a pisser of a life. You're making one. You're already mm-hmm. making one. Mm-hmm. But it's so, you're so fascinated with human beings that you want to be around people and you want to learn from them as you'd like for them to learn from you. And you touch many people's lives and people have respect for you. And there's just a general demeanor that you have that just brings it on. And you have too much fun.
Oh, he's cheesing. Yeah. He's smiling. Mm-hmm.
Did she hit the nail on the head? Did you like that?
Oh, yeah, she did.
I'm so glad.
And you're on the right path. Yeah. So right. So the spirits say.
The spirits tell you.
In Italy.
Ancient spirits.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're really welcome. Helpful. Thanks for coming.
We don't have much time left. Does anyone have any other questions before we go?
Can we do a quick wrap-up one, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would just love... I'm curious about your essence and my essence now that she... All right. Described his, you know, like that whole I don't know, that aspect of it, because we both already touched on, you know, like the career wise, but right. I feel like the essence is something more not like prolific, but you know, like in that sense, yeah, prolific, I guess, is the right word I want to use. Yeah.
So would you like to know about you and who you are?
Could you explain the difference between the career, like I know it's more prolific, but can you just really clarify how it is? Like your essence and how that is different from like my current present life.
Yes.
Is essence similar to soul? Or am I asking too many questions at this
point? No. Essence is like the flavor.
Oh, I see.
The soul is who it is. It's right. The flavor of the soul is the essence.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's their drive. It's their distinction. What distinguishes them from another.
Yeah.
I would say is their essence.
Oh.
It's like ice cream, but then we have vanilla and chocolate and butter pecan and all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I'm curious about his essence and my essence, because I was just so surprised that you had such an astute like reading of an essence. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he just walked in here, and because you know, mm-hmm. as I said, the conceptual and the larger scale things to an all-nighter girl is blowing my mind. And I know
so
Chris
glad.
Pretty well, so I would love to hear that. And then I want Chris to like deem
confirm
whether mine is,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I want to
so
see whether.
Do you want to go first to me?
Oh, you first, okay. Definitely.
Okay, so let's see.
This chair is so loud.
Let's do some healing.
Oh boy. I'm ready.
You want to be a prominent figure and you want to be heard, but in other lifetimes you haven't been heard. Mm. There's been silence and you've been ignored. So your essence is a deep reverb soul. You know how like your voice on the radio resonates low? Mm-hmm. That is who you are. Mm-hmm. That is who you are. You've chosen the lower voice because it's the presence, it's the prominence. Mm. But let's get rid of karma. We're going to take all the lifetimes across time and space, forwards and backwards, across all generations, where there's unforgiveness towards self or other regarding where you've been squashed, squelched, ignored. You have not been heard. You've been ignored. You've just been examined and then thrown in as part of the bad litter. Mm-hmm. and we ball them all up, and you say inside, I forgive myself. Oh, yeah. Forgive everyone and everything. Ask for everyone and everything's forgiveness. Thank God for these life lessons. Now, you're a way old soul. There are at least 200 that are key, but there are up to 1,000 lifetimes. So 800 more that are not as significant as the 200 where you were squelched. And there's bitterness that's now coming up. If you have a weird taste in your mouth and your eyes start getting like fluttery, either teary or blinky or whatever, you're releasing stuff. So then you go home, you go back to your room and brush your teeth and rinse out your mouth. That'll help also clear, do a nice clearing just once, the end of the day. So with that being said, and also sip water between now and when you go to sleep, because you're going to be flushing negative energies through the physical body. That was heavy duty. How many did I say? 1,000 or 2,000?
You said 1,000?
1,000, I believe.
Yeah, 1,000, right? Yeah. 200 and then 800 more. So there are 1,000 lifetimes of all the squelching and ignore and invisibility that you're now, all that energy that was locked up, it's coming out. So you're going to be heard more. You're going to be seen more. You're going to be known more. So you are, your soul is about recognition. It's about, it's like big. It's like a someone who's producing, who's on stage is a big figure. They're prominent. They're in charge of many things. And there's a hugeness about you. And so you were being squelched, but now the gates are open. And so it seems that now the floodgates open up and there are going to be more opportunities coming to you as a result of the forgiveness work you just did. That is your essence. You have, it's, you take things and you also magnify them and you make them bigger. Maybe that's your thing, like with murals, that you'll put something on a big canvas. Or you'll just, or radio is broadcasting out and spreading it out from a room conversation out through the airwaves so many, many people can hear it. So, or being on stage, theater, it's not just you're acting in a room, you're performing in front of many. That is who you are.
Astute. I will leave it at that one word, astute.
Joy liked
Thank
that one.
You.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll take it. I also think that was pretty good.
Astute.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
I think that resonated well.
Now, Joy, do you want to know who you are?
Yes, because we're still iffy about the wrist. I don't know. I'm not that great at taking breaks. I'm like my mother. So maybe I need to know.
So you'll have to force yourself
you will...
even if you have to scare yourself into changing.
Of course. I'm all about
whatever
it
takes.
Scare you.
Whatever it takes in order to, you know, sometimes, you know, like people, you know, they would shock some, you know, shocking in order to change their behavior. That's psychology. I forgot if that was behavior mod.
Shock therapy?
No, it was where you would shock. I don't remember. That's going back. It wasn't Pavlov. That's with the pellets.
Oh.
But there's behavior mode where you would shock in, I don't know.
Negative reinforcement, conditioning and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So you might need to, oh no, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Whatever, until you move yourself so you just don't even have to think about it anymore and you don't. And in this case, it's like, I got to get up because I don't want that. And then you just start getting up.
I'm interested to see, because apparently you have so many thousands of life, like, dang.
Old soul, makes sense.
Old
right?
soul, yeah. I'm just interested to see it because I feel like everything I do right now is very like of this generation, like, you know, like very media based, very internet based, things that my parents can't actually help me study anymore.
You know what I get that you are what you, there's something.
What is your essence?
There's something about, you know, did you say you've got the perfectionist piece?
Oh yeah.
But it's finding the balance with it because first of all, everything is perfect. Even sloppiness and messiness and disarray is still perfect. So everything is perfect. That's a paradox, but wrap your head around that for the day. But with that, you've got a perfectionist that maybe needs to be reined in. But when it's reined in, I see you looking at things around you and wanting to beautify them, neaten them, have them be organized, and having them be just right. And it's like Goldilocks, you could say she was finicky, but if we all think about it, if we want our oatmeal,
she just knew what she wanted.
Exactly. And so if we don't want something too hot or too cold or too soupy or too sludgy, and we want that oatmeal to be just right, is that a problem?
I thought Goldilocks was selfish, and I am just Goldilocks.
There you go.
Secrets revealed.
So there's something about, you're having something before you, whatever it is. It could be entertainment. It could be just something peaceful. It could be mindless. But whatever it is, when you're in an environment, you would rather not have shenanigans. You don't want straggling things and things that are all tipped over in a mess. But I see you, maybe you're not this way yet. I don't know. But your soul enjoys things that are balanced and look beautiful and are in harmony. So that's something to keep in mind. Balance, beauty, and harmony. Those three things, if you had them on a piece of paper, balance, beauty, and harmony, and you kept them on a piece of paper or whatever it is for your life, your soul would remember who you are. And if you're not there yet, or you're maybe there with one of those three things or two of them, your soul would start moving towards those words because it knows it and it likes it. And then you'll get back in balance, and then you'll just be more living your true essence.
I love it.
Did that resonate?
I feel like it does. And a very specific sense in which I feel like you're accurate, in which I'm very disorganized. I'm a very messy person. We're not going to talk about it. But because I also have ADHD, but I'm a perfectionist in the way when I do projects, especially because I have that like hyper-focus aspect, it will be perfect. So internally, I want it perfect, but the balance sometimes of like me doing it is kind of iffy. So,
is your final product echt, though? Is it just right?
Yeah.
I've seen your work before. I've seen when you make art. You get real ornery about it. You get real particular about it.
So
it doesn't matter. All roads lead to, what is that?
Yeah. That all roads lead to, what is the end of
what
that
is it,
one?
Rome Canvas? Or something?
Yeah. All roads lead to Rome.
All roads lead to Rome.
That's a hard one.
Yeah. So that's it, is that we all have different roads, but ultimately, bam. So you know, some people might put a should on there. There are no shoulds. Oh, you need, in order to get it to look like that, you need to do that route. But wait a minute, but I do that route different. I get that a lot in terms of the way that I do healing and sometimes readings, and people say, well, you know, you need to clear a room with sage. I don't use sage. I use intention. And people are like, wait a minute, but it's not really going to work as well if you don't have the sage burning. Like, it's working. And so you do your thing, but ultimately your soul, your finished products are, they just give you peace. So maybe there is something, I don't know, if you'll know. I can't tell you. Christian can't tell you. You will know if you're out of balance with anything. And if so, we have control. We're not fully baked. We're always learning. And you could shift. And if there's nothing to change, go about your business.
There you go.
I'll just keep going like Goldilocks.
Keep going like Goldilocks. Well, I think that means we're done, folks. We've gone a little bit over, but that's all good. If you're still listening to this message in the future, this is a pre-recorded monthly podcast. Today is October 10th?
10th,
2018. Yes. Our next episode will be November 5th. Be sure to tune in at WMNJradio.com for more of The White Light.
And if people wish to find me, they could find me at www.joniswhitelighthealing.com. I'm on Facebook. You can like my fan page, Joni's White Light Healing. And if you want to friend me, please do. It's Joni Isinger, E-I-S as in Sam, I-N-G-E-R. But if you want to friend me, just tell me how you found me.
Fantastic. Joy, do you have any social media things you want to plug? You good?
No, I'm not at that level yet. I'll release it when when I'm polished.
When, famous.
When Goldilocks is ready.
Fair enough.
And thank you so much, Christian, for having me always. And thank you, Joy, for being here.
Thank
it's great
you
seeing
both
you
for
again.
Having me.
Always a pleasure. All right, guys. See you next time.